tonight, or today, we're going to explore one of the most important turning points on this transcendental, dependent, arising path, this Buddhist path, and its knowledge and vision as things as they are. So this is not a, like a philosophical understanding, but it's direct seeing. It's wisdom born from experience. And as our guiding, one of our guiding teachers, Tweri Salah, wrote on her, she has a monthly blog on her website that covers the topic that we're going to take on for the month. And she said it's important to recognize that it's taken 7 months to see clearly. And this is a different type of seeing, as I said. It's not something that we access from our ordinary mind. And it has the quality of insight and discernment. So we've gone from faith and joy and rapture to tranquility, through happiness and concentration. Now we are at the seventh path, knowledge and vision as things are. And this factor marks the first clear awakening of liberating insight. So, the term knowledge and vision in Pali is yathabhuta nanya dasana. And nathabhuta means it actually, as it actually is. That's what it means. Nana means knowing, and dasana, seeing. Yathabhuta nana dasana. But the Buddha spoke about reality free from our projections. It's not what we hope, not what we fear, not the things that we remember or what we imagine. And I can see myself in all of those projections too often. And but he, the Buddha, meant what's occurring right now, what's in the present moment. And he said, one who sees things as they actually are with proper wisdom. So he emphasized that suffering is maintained because we do not see our experiences correctly. And I think myself, I've learned this practicing the Dharma. I can overlay reality with my opinions, with my stories in my mind, with my identity of who I think I am, with my expectations of things that I want, I like. So being on the cushion really helps me to strip away these distortions. They still come, they still show up, but I'm so grateful for the practice. So last month we were learning concentration, and concentration is the preparation for having a unified mind. And when the mind becomes unified, when my mind becomes unified, it stops chasing distractions. I keep myself, stay here, be in the now. I've learned to tell myself that when I catch myself going off into a story, or I mean, it's just incredible the things that come into my mind. Sometimes they're so absurd, it's just crazy. But when my mind is unified, then I can calm my emotions. I can be a little calmer. And when I'm calm, I find that my perceptions change. And that's when I think wisdom arises. And it's not, for me, it has been in different stages. Wisdoms can arise in different ways. And the Buddha said, the Buddha didn't say that concentration creates wisdom, but it reveals what has always been true. It's like muddy water settling. Thich Nhat Hanh said, no mud, no lotus. And, I can find that the stories in my head get pretty muddy sometimes. Lately, I've been dealing with an issue that someone close to me, I've called them several times and they haven't responded. And I'm wondering, what is it? I think, is it me? Are they mad? Right away, I think many of us, not all of us, but many of us, I know I do, I take things personally too often and think that it's my fault, or I'll feel shame because I'll think of something that I may have done to them that I think about. And so with this person, it's like I had to sit and really investigate what was going on with me. I couldn't tell what was going on with them, but what was going on with me? Why was I so upset? And this person is a relative. And I come from a family that we're very attached to each other. We feel that attachment. And learning the Dharma and practicing Buddhism is a challenge to that, I found. And so I had to really investigate what form this attachment is taking and why was I so upset. And that was a really, really helped me. Not only to see that the attachment was a hindrance in the relationship, but also that I had forgotten some things that I may have done to that person. And that I could see clearly now. Maybe that's not why that person didn't call me, but I could see that came up anyway. And it was like, oh, this is what. So now I haven't heard from the person. I know they're on vacation, so I'm going to wait till they come back so that I can have a discussion with them and really talk about my feelings, my own feelings. And as Thich Nhat Hanh has taught me, to have a real conversation, a loving conversation. So for me, this meant that insight naturally unfolds. It naturally unfolded. I was really surprised at all the insights that I got from investigating this relationship. So, it's funny. Yesterday I saw a video and this young man was talking about how this man discovered that there really is no personal, there is no permanent self in human beings, that we're all connected and that, our perceptions evolve, our life evolves, our, so it's like, wait a minute, that's Buddhism. Where did that come from? It was like he discovered it. Anyway, but it also reminded me that there are different levels of knowing. Like there's big and deep, like It's related to the three characteristics in our daily life. Sometimes there's small moments, sometimes there's big moments. It doesn't always have to be an aha moment, but there are many moments too. One thing that comes out to me from Tweri's blog also, and if you'd like to see it, it's on tuerisalah.org, and if you just look at the blog about this month, is no judgment. And that was really hard for me, especially when I realized some of the things that I had done to this, not some, especially one thing, really. And so Tweri says, no judgment. We just want to get a sense of the level of impediment that we're working with. And I got to that, and that really helped me. I mean, it took me, I think, 2 days of shame, but it says, don't make it a shaming, blaming, or complaining thing. And every person reading those words, including me, that's what Tweri said, are all in the same boat. And this is why we're doing the practice. It's not easy, but it can be adventurous and rewarding beyond measure. And if we simply practice for the sake of practicing, everything changes. The three characteristics. One is impermanence. Everything changes. Our thoughts change. Our feelings change. Our body sensations change all the time. Our relationships change. Success and failure, nothing remains. Whatever is subject to arising is subject to ceasing, the Buddha said. So I've begun to see impermanence directly, not merely just believing it. The second characteristic is dukkha, unsatisfactoriness. And because everything changes, nothing can permanently satisfy me. Nothing. My perceptions, what I expect of that person, And even pleasant feelings and experiences fade. So, and wanting them to remain creates suffering. Wanting me to have this relationship remain the way I want it causes me suffering. The third characteristics, as we know, is non-self. And perhaps this is the deepest realization that, things happen. But no permanent owner can be found, it said. Even though it's me, it's not me. I'm not the same person that I was before. I'm not the same person that I was when I was unkind. So things arise and others arise and perceptions arise, but there's no really fixed me. So that's why I love investigating my thoughts, investigating my suffering when it comes up. To have living experience. So, in ordinary life, I can become irritated. And I have to say, Jesus, I'm so angry. But I'm trying to learn how to tell myself there is anger. And notice that shift when I identify what it means and it softens what's happening in me. Or sometimes I have pain during meditation, especially if I've been sitting all day. So I try to observe what's happening. Where's the tightness? Where can I move? Where are the sensations? So it becomes a process rather than an enemy that I have to resist. So, my practices that support my insight is mindfulness of the body. I've learned in these past few years that just noticing my body and the changes in it and my breath, even the temperature, and that really helps me to get into concentration and calm. I can also, during meditation or at the beginning, I could observe if I'm in a pleasant mood or if I'm in an unpleasant mood or in a neutral mood. But know that that comes and goes, and it can see that. And can feel that and can experience it coming and the feeling tones coming and going. And then I, and it makes me easier, it makes it easier for me not to follow my thoughts. And but I could see them coming and I can see them disappearing much more often than when I was a novice practitioner, you could say. And what I'm trying to tell myself every day, another powerful reflection I wish I could practice more often, is to ask myself, what's actually happening here? What is the story that I'm telling myself about this? And I find that I could do it more often than I could ever before. Another one is to, can I experience this moment without adding anything to it? Sometimes I experience, it could be anything simple, going to the store, seeing somebody do something, and do I have to add, why does she have to put her stuff there? Or, I wish these people would, why are they taking so long? Why are they having a conversation? I don't need to worry about those things. So when I'm in concentration, I think one of the biggest obstacles for me is wanting insight and just getting myself to practice. Just for the sake of practicing. And so, because I see that, if I'm grasping it, if I'm tense and I gotta figure this out, it's like it doesn't work. The insight doesn't come. The calmness is not there. So, one of also my I think it's not considered a hindrance, but it is a hindrance for me, is that believing intellectual knowledge equals wisdom. 'Cause I'm a bookworm. I love reading. But reading about impermanence is not seeing impermanence. So, and the Buddha constantly emphasized, and we all know, that direct knowing is to experience. Knowing through observation and not speculation. So in closing, I just want to repeat something that Tweri put in her blog. No judgment. We just want a sense of the level of impediment or the hindrance that we are working with. Don't make it a shaming, blaming, or complaining thing. Every person including me, are all in the same boat. And this is why we're doing this practice. It's not easy, but it can be adventurous and rewarding beyond measure if we simply practice for the sake of practicing. Knowledge and vision of things as they are is not the end of practice. It's the doorway. And once reality is clearly seen, attachment naturally weakens. Craving weakens. And disenchantment in those hindrances follows. And dispassion follows, and liberation follows. Nothing is forced, and the path unfolds naturally. Thank you for listening. So, are there any reflections of what I said, or Alana? Alana.
Hello. Hello. Thank you so much. This was so helpful. I've been dealing with my own version of some interpersonal, I guess you would say, dynamics that made me really get comfort from this talk today and where we're at in kind of the progress of this series. So specifically us being in the same boat wise, I just wanted to say thank you for that. It's a good reminder for me who sometimes takes things really intensely to heart. And then it gets out of balance in terms of context and perspective with like this overwhelmingly like long path that maybe not that it's the longer path, but just that it's a path and there's going to be this. And so to get it out of whack or out of balance with the fact that in retrospect, there's probably that person that has made mistakes or, you know, the grace part of it, I guess, of we're all in this boat and we all have some of these things go on. So it helped keep it at bay, some of my tendency to forget those things. So thank you so much. I just wanted to say that. And I don't know what else I was going to ask. I'd forgotten, but just really helpful to keep things at a little bit more of a balance and perspective today. So I'm endeavoring to keep that in the forefront of my mind the rest of the day too. So thank you, Nina.
Oh, you're welcome. Oh, that was very sweet. Thank you so much yourself. I'm glad.
Thank you too.
Liz.
Thank you for your talk, Nina. I really appreciated how you mentioned the hindrance or the obstacle of wanting stuff to happen, wanting to insight to come, wanting progress to happen, because that's been a really hard one for me too, you know, like going on retreat and hoping something will happen or waiting for something to happen. And it's taken a long time and a lot of painful experience to realize that it just doesn't work that way. And the more I'm trying to make something happen, the less I'm realizing that it isn't all about me, you know, and that things really just arise and unfold according to conditions. And I need to get out of the way rather than trying to make things happen. So I appreciate you mentioning that. And I think it's something we all deal with. So thanks.
You're welcome. Oh, no, Liz, I'm sorry.
Right. Thank you so much for your talk, Nina. It was perfect. I had a day yesterday. My husband and I were totally disagreeing, and I anyways, I he was not necessarily acting most skillfully. And a lot of the stuff that said, I kind of just took super personally, really personally. And then I started like really going in a rabbit hole, going down old traumas and just in my head and all like in that me zone. And tried to shake it, tried to shake it. And then was like getting into the definition of me and like, there's something wrong with me. I'm a weirdo, you know, or like, I just really need to do more therapy or meditate more. I just can't, you know, like circling. And then, I actually have all of like every year whenever we go through something, I kind of write it down and dry erase on my mirror and was kind of going through it and reminding myself as we go through of seeing things exactly as they are. And I was able to see this trauma cycle and able to see myself getting caught in this old story. And even though there was a moment where I definitely felt like I did not act most skillfully, I can acknowledge that, you know, learning path. Like I feel like Linda was saying, like it's kind of like lifetime experience and of like and seeing and like we always say, like seeing it for yourself, like seeing it for myself, I was able to see my own story in my head, this creation of the self that really in the end is just baloney because I'm not that self again. Today, tomorrow, or like, I'm definitely not who I was 20 years ago, and probably not who I'm going to be in like 20 years. But, that reminding of seeing the things just as they are. And like, I had to write down in the notes that thing you just said about, I lost my notes. Probably shouldn't be doing it. Can I experience the moment without adding anything to it? I love that. Feel like I want to get tattooed that on my hand because I just need to stop putting other crap in the story. So thank you so much, Nina.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so much. I mean, I love the Sangha because it also helps to validate how I'm feeling at the time, just so that, yeah. Thank you. I'm glad. Lauren, how are you?
Good. Thank you, Nina. I took some notes, and where you talked about how much you loved investigating and when you don't judge. So then you talked about that and about using there is pain, there is anger, rather than making that what is a hindrance, not a judgment of it, but just a thing, a process. So I was thinking, and you also said about the body really helps you, focusing on the body. And I was thinking, for me, this area where what is this really without adding anything to it? So when I go to the body level of whatever I'm feeling, like the feeling is really unpleasant. Let's say it's really unpleasant. And it's already, I have an idea. My thoughts are going, and a story has developed about why I'm feeling bad, what it is. And then I get attached to that story and I start investigating that. But then if I go back to the body and take away what I have added to what I think this is and just what is this feeling in my body, it can really help me let go of the story and be present, just present and direct this. What is this feeling? You know, what is this? And just be with it. And I don't even really need a verbal answer. I don't need a word answer. But just what is this? What is this here and now? What is this? And then, like you said, insight, it kind of opens the way for insight that's beyond the story and thinking, kind of separates out that thought process. That I can get so, run down the road with. So it reminded me that together with focusing on the body and not adding anything and not judging, because usually what I add is has a judgment in it, like shame, things like that.
So anyway, those kind of pieces in the stew of investigation were really nice to hear you highlight and give examples from your own experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, I'm still in awe, or I think it's wondrous how, when you get to that concentration and that state of mind where you're not making up stories, how it just, insight just comes up. It's like almost a miracle. but it's what we have in us. It's just true. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Jerry.
Hi, Jerry. You're muted.
Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah. Nina, thank you. Really nice talk. I just really appreciate it. Re-characteristics and other things that you said. And I appreciated, the characteristics, that whole distinction between, okay, here's the information, but that's just the doorway. You know, it's not the answer. So I like that aspect. And I liked what a couple of other people have mentioned, those ways we add to something. And I appreciate your examples that, because they're so immediate, how we add. Oh, why are they doing that? It's like it's not the big add. It's like right here and now add, and just noticing that in the moment. I appreciated that. So, yeah, thank you. Very nice talk. It was helpful. I'll reflect on it more. Thanks. That's all.
Hi, Judith.
Hi, Nina. Thank you. That was lovely. I also really related to when you said, can I experience the moment without adding to it? And I realized that first of all, I have to ask myself, am I even experiencing the moment at all? Or am I 15 miles down the road, which is my tendency? And then if I am in the moment, I, like Lauren, I often, whatever I'm adding tends to be a judgment. Oh no, I should not be feeling this way, right? This is not, you know, this is very unenlightened, the way I'm feeling. And just to, sometimes I can remember the Buddha saying, I see you, Mara, I see you. And that helps so much if I can just even remember that, oh yeah, I see the judgment. And this is what I'm experiencing. It is. So, okay. And also understanding that, you know, next week it will be totally different. This doesn't mean that I'm going to feel this way forever. Right? So anyway, lots of things to think about. Thank you.
That's great. Thank you so much. Yeah, I found this, what we're learning here is just so rich and helpful for my life. Miss Candace.
Thank you for that talk, Nina. It's always wonderful to hear you talk. I too, I think, I feel like I'm just repeating what everybody else is saying about appreciating so much that reminder to see what I'm adding to the moment. And what I've been playing with lately is how I label what's happening. And so I've been noticing labels. And this morning I've had a very, for some reason, agitated cat in my, where I'm sitting. And so I've had to, you know, kind of let her out, let her in, you know, try to please her. And I'm labeling what's going on with her, and I don't know. And it's sometimes the simplest thing of dealing with an animal who can't talk to you that you realize, my gosh, all the labels I'm putting on things. And this is just an agitated cat who wants my attention. Why can't it just be that? And the minute I started feeling that way, she changed and she settled down. So I thought, how much do we affect the people in our lives by the labels that we're putting on things unconsciously? Anyway, that really, your talk really got me spinning into this really interesting question of labeling. And I remember Rodney always used to say, why not just, you know, you call something a problem. Why'd you call it a problem? Maybe it's a puzzle. And how that changes everything. So thank you so much. I really needed to hear this moment while I was dealing with Maggie.
Yeah, well, Candace, yeah, I could see that. And I think that, I mean, I believe that with the labeling has an energy to it. That's why your cat changed, because you changed your energy.
Yep. Thank you, Nina.
You're welcome. Seuss.
Hi, I have a question and a comment. The question is, at one point you said, sense the level of the impediment that you're working with. And I was wondering if you would talk a little bit more about that specific thing. And that, and then I just have a short comment.
Well, that is exactly what Tweri wrote in her blog. And I interpreted it as the impediments are the hindrances that come up. You know, the hindrance of, you know, being anxious or it could be fear, it could be anger, frustration at not getting what you want. So there are, you know, those things come at different levels. I mean, you know, me being angry at a cat is a little bit, for me, I don't have a pet, would be a little bit different than being angry at my adult daughter. And, you know, so that's, you know, it's just like, what is this level? You know, how much do we have to really focus on what it is that we're thinking? Does that explain what I'm...
Yeah, sure. I also reminded of Tweri's talk recently where she talked about the hindrances as both an entry level for greater insight and an obstacle. They're not always an obstacle. That sometimes if we look at the aversion, the wanting, the restlessness, sloth, and doubt, if we look at it more as an investigation thing, what does it have to teach me? So I think there's also that, but the comment I wanted to make, which is kind of funny calling it a comment, because when you and others have talked about what we add to this moment, I've had this intention to stop adding commentary to everything that rises up. And it's not, I don't usually speak it out loud, but it's in my head. It's taking all this time adding commentary about people I see, things I do, what's going on in my body, what's going on around me. And just that added commentary, it's a very difficult habit to break. But that's the adding something, as if what I think of it is so important. So anyway, and yes, thank you for your talk, like everyone else was saying too.
Yeah, first, you know, the first part of your question about the hindrances, this is what it's about. I mean, for us to look at our hindrances and investigate them. And that's what brings the insight into, you know, what we can approach in order for us to live wholesome lives, in order for us to be more wholesome, you know. And as far as commentary, commentary can be,
the same, it's a hindrance. It's, and it could be judgment. It could, you know, for me, it could be judgments. If I'm commenting and going, oh, you know, who does she think she is? Or why are they doing this? You know, those, all those kinds of questions, you know, it's looking at why the commentary comes up.
Yeah.
Or catching
there's a quote or a little phrase from the AA community that says, don't pick up anything that doesn't have your name on it, which I just love. And it's hard to do, because I think, you know, you walk around as if everything has your name on it. Yeah. Thank you, Nina.
Yes, thank you. Martha. Hi, Martha. Unmute yourself.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to thank you for your talk. I know it takes reflection and time, so thank you for that offering. I especially appreciated, it may not have been your intention to offer hope, but I wanted to share, I know we have a complicated relationship with hope as Buddhists, but I wanted to just share something that you reminded me of, which is that it can be quite difficult for me when something is painful. Painful is happening, and life can be quite painful, to really be with things as they are, because I would prefer to be having another experience. You know, I would prefer to not be angry, for example, or I would prefer to not feel grief. But what you described in your personal experience, which, was such a nice reminder for me, is you described the kind of like the upshot or the possibility in being with things as they are, which what I heard you describe was wise and compassionate response to things as they are. Whatever conversation you intend to have or kind of settling in with whatever your feelings are. And I just wanted to thank you for that reminder that the pathway there is with things as they are. It feels so obvious, you know, one of the, if like someone mentioned tattooing something on their hand, but there are some things that they're remembering over and over again. And I just wanted to say, I appreciated that reminder from you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I think what that brings to mind for me is I think my initial, or for years, my perception of the practice was, you know, you sit on the cushion and you just meditate, you know. And now, you know, I'm realizing that there's time to meditate on what we're suffering about. And sometimes it's not one sit. It could be 5 days of sitting, or, you know, or a whole retreat, or maybe just one afternoon. So it's like, you know, that's another kind of level of impermanence. It's like, in a sense, yeah. Okay, I think we have room for one last thought. Anybody would like to? Hold on. Sherry.
How about faith? Faith.
Okay, faith.
We were
okay.
Simultaneous. Faith. I'd like to hear from faith.
Faith, unmute yourself.
I'll make it fast. I heard you, loved your talk. I always do. And I like that today it meandered. And it was like stream of consciousness, and I was so touched by that. I really appreciated the authenticity of that. It wasn't a prepared oration. But the one thing that you said was that, do I have time to meditate? And then you kind of implied that you can take that moment to meditate. It doesn't have to be getting all this, am I sitting right on my, do I have the right zafu? You know, it's all of that stuff. It's just being with yourself for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I just love that idea. And I actually have done it a couple of times where I've been about to enter a room where I'm already telling a story about how it's going to be. And I just say, whoa, let me take a minute to be, I am not in that room yet, so take a breath. And then when I enter it, I'm entering it with curiosity rather than a predetermined storyline. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Good advice. Sherry, you'll be the last.
I think that that's a really nice note to end on. I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for the talk, and thank you for everyone. To hear your voices is wonderful.
Okay. Thanks, everyone. I'd just like to take one moment where we can just take a breath and share the merit of our practice for the world, for those who we think need it. Thank you, everyone.